And we welcome theatre maker Bianca Flanders-Bali. It's good to have you with us, Bianca.
Oh, it's so lovely to talk to you again, Clarence.
Yeah, we're talking about Karamonk, said Worcester Fierce, proudly presenting the premiere of the new one-woman show by Bianca Flanders-Bali, directed by the inimitable Gemma Khan. That's described as a gender, or rather, a genre bending cabaret, brimming with new contemporary South African writing and visual indulgences. Big words there, but an exciting little prospect, I think. Tell us more.
It is. I mean, it's such a difficult show to describe because it uses so many different art forms. So it's like basically a very sexy series of time stories for grown-ups with music and the best pictures you could possibly imagine. That's the most palatable way to explain the show.
I got you. Karamonk? Is it spicy too?
It is spicy. I feel like there should be a small language disclaimer, but nothing too hectic. We need to find a word that could encompass lots of different things, because it's a whole lot of different contemporary South African stories. And to be honest, they all reminded me of spices in Ekosmos Stoutser Kombes, and Karamonk felt so appropriate, because yeah. I feel like a cardamom is like one of the most flavor-boosting spices, whole spices we could get, and the show feels like a flavor booster.
Also, an integral part of Malay culinary tradition is that something that maybe comes through as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it's because the stories are so deeply South African and so human and personal, food is definitely a theme that kind of goes through the show, and not even intentionally, but yeah, that very much is true.
Okay, so this collaboration combines the talents of South Africa's top artists, our most exciting writers, the darling of stage and screen on stage, and a brilliant director as well. A whole lot of things colluding here. Nou moet jy name noem, Macy.
Okay, as ek begin by die skrywers, so I talk about the writers. Tertius Kapp, who is one of the best South African writers we have. He writes for CakeNet, for Showmax, Max for the theatre. We also have Ronaldo Comfort, who for me is like the modern day Adam Small. We've got Michaela Brown, who's an incredible up and coming local writer. She's been winning awards over the last year. We have Megan Horitz, who's a novelist. She wrote Lost Property. And we've got Lebogang Mokoasha, who also writes for Netflix. So you have a really wide variety of incredible, incredible writers. Some of the stories are so funny. Some of them are heartbreaking. Some of them are sweet and delightful. And they're all beautiful in their own way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if we go to the illustrators, we've got Kyle Jardine, who, if you know anything about art, he is killing it on the art scene at the moment. So he's one of the amazing illustrators that we use. We've got Aman Isaacs, who is another incredible artist. Rebecca Haysom, who works a lot in Prince Albert. She's busy curating an art festival there. So it really is a dream team.
Sounds like it. Now, tell us more about this genre-bending cabaret. What exactly does it mean? And then you also talk about contemporary South African writing. How does that fit into the offering?
Well, we say genre-bending cabaret because we're combining kamishibai, which is actually an ancient Japanese form of art of storytelling, using a box. So there's this weird wooden box, and there's a series of images within the box. So we're using that for some of the stories, and some of the stories are told with music. And the way it works is each of the writers get a brief and a word, and they all write a short story based on their brief. So what you're actually getting is kind of snapshots into, I think, South Africa in 2024. That's what you're watching with art.
Yes. Okay, and in terms of visual indulgences, what can I expect?
Well, we work with artists, so it's because the show is multidisciplinary. So what you'll be seeing, you're not just hearing, like with a normal theatre show, you're watching a body in space, which is kind of what we do anyway, that's me. But then we add another layer on it. So there's art, so there's actual illustrations and drawings that feature throughout the show to kind of assist with the storytelling. So you're seeing, it's kind of like if an exhibition and a music show and a theatre all kind of made a baby. That is Karamonk.
Okay. And then it's bilingual as well, so you're using both English and Afrikaans. How does that fit into this very compelling proposition?
Well, I think language is so important in South Africa, you know. I mean, I think that's the way we connect with each other. And I'm a brown South African girl, and, you know, English and Afrikaans is kind of, those are my two languages. And I really wanted, we wanted the show to appeal to as many people as possible. And I love the idea of mixing languages. So some stories are in English, some are in Afrikaans. And I really feel like it's a lovely representation of, I think, a large portion of Cape Town.
Chatting to theatre maker Bianca Flanders-Barley, I get a lot of energy from you when you talk, especially about Gemma Khan. Tell us about this relationship between the two of you and the energy that we will feel as a consequence.
Oh, Gemma Khan is incredible. She's a Standard Bank Ovation Award winner, and she was kind of one of the first people in South Africa to do kimishibai, which is the Japanese storytelling form with the illustrations. And she actually hasn't been, she's kind of decided to take a break from performing for a bit and is being wonderful working in therapy. And I begged her, I was like, please, Gemma, I know you haven't directed anything in the last year. I know you're on your break, but please. And then I pitched the idea to her, and she said yes. And it's wonderful because we're both as equally nuts and excited and inspired by this project as the other one is. So it's been such a wonderful, fulfilling, invigorating rehearsal process. I am floored every day by how her mind works.
That's exciting. So maybe just details, where's it going down? Is it at Artscape? When is it happening? And how much does it cost?
Sure. Well, the show is happening at Sit Oosterfeest, which is at the Artscape. It's, for those of you who don't know, it's an incredible theatre and music and literature festival happening right in the middle of Cape Town. So Karamonk will be playing at the Nati Arena Theatre, and we have three shows on the 26th and the 29th and the 1st of May. Tickets are 130 Rand and available at web tickets. It's also Sit Oosterfeest's 21st anniversary. So they've got some shows that are 21 minutes long for 21 Rand. They've got incredible jazz lineup, gospel music, lots of drama. It's really, really a wonderful theatre to attend. So if you're in Cape Town on this weekend, then I would go. And tickets are really reasonably priced as well.
Absolutely. And we get arrested there. Theatre maker Bianca Flanders-Barley telling us about a one-woman piece, Karamonk. It makes its debut at the Sit Oosterfeest again from the 26th of April, 130 Rand. It's bilingual, both English and Afrikaans. Duration 70 minutes, and it sounds as if it's something I need to do. Make some time for. Before we get to news headlines, a couple of messages in on a variety of issues that we've touched on this morning. We're going to go there and find out what's happening.
Cape Talk. WhatsApp Clarence.
072-567-1567.
Clarence, you are directing or recommending your listeners go to News 24 to read the article on the NPA and Shamila Batoy. However, majority of your listeners, I'm sure, will not be able to access News 24 because literally all of their news stories are now behind a paywall where one must pay, I think it's about 75 Rand a month to get access to it. So fortunately, you most probably were able to read it. But I think you forget that majority of your listeners, including myself, on principle will not pay 75 Rand a month to read something which is available on the other major websites, which I did read yesterday. And I'm referring, to be honest with you, not promoting them, Times Live, which had the full report. So for those who can't get to News 24, go to Times Live. Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen, we got to interrogate that. What value do we get for 75 Rand? So I'm in the business of news. I love to just naturally, I want to be on top of stuff happening around the country and around the world. So whether I was a talk radio host or not, I'd be doing that. And I get a lot of value for 75 Rand a month from News 24. I really do. We'd buy newspapers. Just remember what the cost of those newspapers were. It is fair value. We need to sustain and just look at the role of the media, the role that the media has played in South Africa. It's done absolute wonders in keeping government honest. Is it even possible to keep government honest? But it's the media that exposed some of the biggest kind of issues that got us to rally as society against the excesses of government. And of course, it's now residing in the ether as well. It's on the internet. It needs to pay for the amazing work that journalists are doing in this particular country and around the world to bring the truth to us. So I think we must be aware of those kind of costs and maybe just appreciate it more. I think 75 Rand is really good value for me. And the quality of the journalism is beyond reproach. So just think through it before you get to that conclusion. 75 Rand is also a lot of money to some people. They could probably better deploy it elsewhere. But I think it's an important thing for us to talk about. Let's go to another one.
How is it actually possible at all that 2 years later, with 21 dead bodies, that we still have no idea what happened at the Nyobeni Tavern disaster? I mean, if you just think about that, it's been 2 years, there were 21 dead bodies. If half of those were put up for autopsy or investigation, I mean, I'm sure the state could subpoena some of them. I don't know if that could work or if that's legal, but surely if there was a priority to actually find out, 2 years, 21 bodies, to have no idea, I mean, things surprise me daily, but this is beyond me, and I don't think anyone should actually accept this. It's such a travesty and a disaster and an absolute shameful representation of what we are able to sweep under the rug in this country to try and focus on things that are, or to say that we're focusing on things that are more important. I think the relevant people, parties, departments should be absolutely ashamed of themselves.
I agree. There's absolutely no political will to get to the bottom of this, to find justice for those 21 young people that died, to let justice take its course. If it wasn't for the media, and the media literally had to pry information out of the department, it is because the media that the movement, albeit slow, is actually happening. One wonders what would have happened if the media wasn't knocking on the doors of the relevant departments in the Eastern Cape and finding out where this particular issue is at. And that's the role of the media in the absence of government taking its role seriously, and that is protecting communities. How do you license a shebeen in a residential space? How is it possible that young people who are not allowed in a space were able to go there? Yeah, it is just absolutely crazy. It is also 10:30.